Welcome back to Behind the Play. My name is Alex Adams, and I'm joined by someone I admire deeply in the industry and now a colleague of mine, the one and only Mark Spector of Sportsnet, who covers the Oilers. How are things, Mark? It feels like the Oilers in Oilers land, there's always craziness happening. How's the season been for you?
Pretty good. It's not as crazy maybe as, we're not Vancouver, right? I don't think we have that much drama.
Nope.
There is some difference with the team that has, legitimate Stanley Cup hopes and dreams. I mean, they did go to game seven last year. So I guess the biggest difference between Edmonton and everyone else is the expectations couldn't be higher. It is absolutely time to win the Stanley Cup here, and anything less would mean that you step back from last season. So yeah, it's a high bar, but I think it should be a high bar.
Yeah, and with the high bar, like this is leads into a bit of a journalistic question for you. But what I admire about you and your work so much is how you're very authentically yourself, and also you're very opinionated, all the time, and you have your deep beliefs that I think I have as well. But how long did that take for you to kind of develop the? I don't know what the right word is. I'm thinking of a five-letter word, that maybe the balls are, or whatever that you may say to kind of say what you mean, and then go to practice and talk to players after you've criticized them. Like, was that something from your start that you felt kind of the courage to do, or how has that kind of evolved over time?
Well, I think it has evolved over time for sure. It really, you get confidence as a journalist that when you're criticizing someone, you're right. And I think you learn some processes about making sure, sometimes like it's different, everything's different, every story is different. Sometimes maybe a guy's having a bad season and he's just not seemingly there mentally, and maybe he's making a bunch of mistakes that are uncharacteristic. And I've learned over the years, before you really criticize that person too harshly, sometimes you got to ask around. Sometimes there's something going on in their life. Sometimes there's a the marriage is broken up, a parent is sick, a sibling, a child, some goofy, not goofy, some very serious thing that is a reason. And then you go, okay, you know what? I'm going to back off a little here. But the other side of that coin is once you ask around and once you do your diligence, and I've been around long enough to know who to ask and when to ask it, I know now, generally speaking, when I am critical on a player or a coach or whatever, a manager, that there's a high chance I'm right. When I was your age, I wasn't always right. And you know what? It's a school of hard knocks a little bit. I'm not telling you I'm always right. I'm wrong on stuff. But when it comes to really putting my neck in the line now, I think I know the process is better so that my neck doesn't get chopped off the next day. So that helps you to do it when you have a little confidence behind
And
you.
was there a moment or at a kind of a certain point of your career where you're like, okay, like I think I've figured out that line and when to put your neck out on the line, and maybe when to maybe hold back because you know what's going on with a player or coach or whatever the.
I don't know if there's a one aha moment or one time, but you certainly, at some point you like I've had many, many conversations. I've had a few this season with players who didn't like something I said or wrote. And at when you're young and you have your first couple, they scare the hell out of you. And here you are talking to some NHL player and they're mad at you and you're shaking in your boots. And I think you hit the point where you get some confidence again and you realize that, you know what? I'm right. So I'll give every player a chance to come at me and let's talk about it. But I'm certainly far more confident now in saying, look, like last year you had 30 goals. This year you got six, right? They're counting on you to fill a certain role on the first line, and the coach is playing you on the third or fourth line. And really, an old colleague of mine, Jim Matheson, told me once that if you're doing it the right way, when you criticize an athlete or a coach or anybody in the sporting world, they read your stuff the next day and they go, man, that guy, he's a real, But you know what else? He's kind of right. Right. And I think most people realize when they are failing or they're not providing or they're not producing, they don't need me to tell them. They know it makes them mad when I tell them. hey, that's a business. But I'm not, again, I find that I pick my spots so that I'm not wrong very often. And some are harder than others, but generally speaking, if you're right, what can they say?
What I find interesting is one particular relationship of yours with a player, which I'll watch a post game press conference and maybe it's just him, but it feels like you and Leon Draisaitl have an interesting relationship. And I remember last year you wrote a really excellent story about him heading into potentially signing an extension, and but then sometimes he'll bite back at you. Like, what's that like when you have a player that sometimes will confide in you and give you a scoop or just even a great story, but then will also go back at you as well? Like, what's that like?
I mean, that's the player you love, right? I don't want a guy that's just complicit and is feels like, oh, I can never say anything mean to the journalist or he'll be mad at me. I don't want any of that, right? I don't want, like it, if, listen, this, Alex. We ask a lot of questions and we ask them, we're shooting from the hip. It's not like you write down all your questions up to go to every scrum. Sometimes you ask a question and it's halfway out of your mouth and you realize that's a kind of not the greatest question. And Leon happens to be a guy that he'll shoot that question back at you. And that's awesome. Like I'm so for that. I would way rather have, an athlete that listens to your question and says, hold on a second, there's a couple holes here and I'm going to point them out. Because let's face it, I'm pointing out the holes in his game when there are holes. So he has every right to point out when I ask a dumb question, and I've asked some dumb questions, you have and will too. So I think the measure of I would guess the level of respect Leon Draisaitl would have for me. I'm not telling you that I'm his mentor or his hero or anything like that. But when we're in Detroit last year on an off day and he doesn't have to do an interview with anybody, he comes down to the lobby and spends 45 minutes with me sitting down. And we got I thought, a really nice piece and a
That's
great
great.
read, enough that you're remembering it, whatever it is, 12 months later. So really, that's what matters. I can have all kinds of back and forth with guys. That's fine. It's kind of, I liken it to two guys having a hockey fight. Sometimes, Alex, you run my best player and we're buddies, but we got to fight because you're not allowed to run my best player. But you know what? The next day we're friends again. And I respect that you're doing your job and you respect I'm doing mine. We don't hold grudges. It's too short a life. Hockey's too small a place. If you're holding a grudge every time, you get a little sour with someone. It's going to be a long life in this business.
I mean, like maybe going to transition from not only asking questions but writing about the team and everything. What's that process like for you when you like a post game story or even just trying to get an interview or whatever? Like, what is your writing process like? Is it do you have a bunch of word bubbles and try to kind of connect the dots? Like, what's that like kind of underneath the hood?
I mean, first of all, I'm a, I would say you might probably call a short form writer. I don't do 4,500 word magazine pieces. I write every day. That's how I was brought into this business. I'm a daily columnist. I write every day. When you go to a game and your team loses 3-2, and it's a Tuesday night, and it's not a monumental loss or win, I'm not winning any Pulitzers, man. I'm giving the fans something to read about. I hope that I can make it funny. I hope I can have some turn of phrase. I hope I can give you a little insight, maybe tell you something about that game you didn't know. But it's not brain surgery every day. The piece I enjoy is when you get is the piece I enjoy is coming on an off day almost always. Very few game stories are really anything you're ever going to remember for more than about a day. I like to tell a story. I like to bring you inside of hockey. As a hockey writer, and you're learning this, you're seeing things and learning things that you can't always put in the paper. You can't always report everything you see and learn, but a lot of it goes back in here and you just hold on to it. And it helps you understand the next situation a little bit better, right? Because you go, oh yeah, I remember how this broke down last time. And so what I love to be able to do is say, okay, I've got some experience now. I've been doing this a while. And sometimes there's situations around your hockey team for all those fans out there that they don't get, like, because they don't have a chance to get it because they're not inside. And I love when I can help bring some of that to light. I'm not talking about burning bridges or ripping guys or any of that, but sometimes you can help explain some things, being the middleman between the team and the fan. And I think that's kind of what we're here for, right? Is
Yeah.
we're the, we're the conduit to the team. And I do like when we can be a sort of a useful conduit and give the fans something that they just wouldn't have known if they didn't read spec that day, right?
Exactly. Conduit, my mentor, now he works for the Sens, ironically, but Ian Mendez would always talk about being a conduit to the fans. And I feel like that's the way I write, is to the fans, not for the fans, but so to bring insight, to bring something they don't know or something interesting that they might enjoy, right?
Sure.
And just talk about the team that they love. To quote you from your most
Uh-oh.
recent article, it's not actually anything too bad, but are the Edmonton Oilers a worse team today than they were 12 months ago, Spec?
That's a good question, and it's people have been chewing on that around Edmonton for 24 hours, and I'm, you run the risk. The team's lost three in a row. They're playing their worst hockey right now. They just got smoked out on two games in a row on the weekend. You got to be careful not to overreact. They still are like the fourth or fifth place team in the National Hockey League, right? They're 2 points out of the lead in their division. Their record from last year when they went to the Stanley Cup final is through 57 games, their winning percentage is exactly the same. So you don't want to go crazy, but I look at some things and I look at the two free agent additions. Their big ones were Victor Arvidsson and Jeff Skinner. Jeff Skinner's getting scratched tonight in Tampa. Victor Arvidsson's got 7 goals. Victor Arvidsson's on the backside of the mountain here, and they thought there might be a little more left than I believe it looks like there is. Hope I'm wrong. I loved Victor Arvidsson as a player, but I'm not sure he's all that player anymore. And they lost Dylan Holloway, young, fast, physical. They lost Phil Broberg, didn't play much for him last year, but you'd rather have him. And Stu Skinner's numbers aren't quite as good as they were last year, so that's your goalie. So you're net negative in goal a little bit. And I would say to you that Evan Bouchard, who had an unbelievable season last year, isn't as good this year. And listen, guys go up and down a little bit, right? Especially younger defensemen. I understand why he's having a worse year, but the fact that he's not as good as he was last year tells me maybe they're not as good. And they've got some work to do between with the trade deadline, with Evander Kane perhaps coming back, and with a couple of the guys they have playing better. My line on Evan Bouchard is, if Evan Bouchard's as good as he could be, you might win a Stanley Cup. I'm not sure the Oilers can win a Stanley Cup with an Evan Bouchard that's 60, 70% of what he could be. I'm not sure they can do it.
So what do you think? I know you talked to Stan Bowman, but what do you think the pressing needs are for this team to hopefully be better than they were last year and win that extra game?
Yeah, well, I mean, to me, the pressing needs are the guys they have can play better, as we just talked about. And then they got, they're going to have sort of 5 or 6 million cap space at the deadline, and they're going to go out and get two players. I think they need a defenseman. Like, they've been auditioning John Klingberg, second pairing right side. I don't think he's the guy. I'm not sure yet. He hasn't had that many games, but I sense he's not the guy. I want someone better than him. He could probably play third, maybe play third pairing right side, probably not second. So you want that guy. And Leon Draisaitl's been carrying Arvidsson and Vasilij Podkolzin through the entire season. And neither guy is very productive. I mean, when you consider that I don't even know how many goals Podkolzin has, five or something. When you consider that those two wingers have spent most of the season next to the second leading scorer in the National Hockey League, Draisaitl is having an unbelievable season. And Victor Arvidsson has 7 goals and 21 points or something. Like, it's not good enough. So they need somebody who can play better for Draisaitl to go through the playoff run, no doubt about it.
I guess with that, the question I've been thinking before this podcast, and it's just in a sense, it's like with Draisaitl playing, as you mentioned, just at this unbelievable level for so long. Same, obviously, McDavid's the best player in the world. Just ask Team USA. How, in your mind, how inevitable is it, or maybe it's not, but that the Oilers will win a cup in the era of McDavid and Draisaitl? Because in a sense, they have two of They have the best player in the world, and Draisaitl isn't
Top
low to like
five.
five or six, right? Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly.
Yeah. I mean, you want to, you looking at it from afar or from the outside, you would say, yeah, that's the makings of a cup winner. They clearly went to game seven of the Stanley Cup last year. So they've obviously got the pedigree of hockey team to win a cup here. Stuff has to go right. And so far this year, stuff hasn't gone right. For instance, you spend $7 million on Skinner and Arvidsson, and now you're at the deadline. You're going, man, that wasn't great. Those guys didn't help much. You lost, losing Holloway hurt. He's a young, fast, hard-hitting guy. They don't have many of them. So far this year, things haven't gone right. McDavid hasn't been at his best this year by any means. Draisaitl's been their best player. And we all agree that McDavid's the best player in the world, but Draisaitl's been better this year through 58 games. So, should they win a cup? Yeah, they should win a cup. Do I want a Canadian team to win a cup? I do as a Canadian. Do I think that, Connor McDavid's done a lot for the game? He's one of the greats of all greats. He's going and, he's going to break a lot of records, do a lot of things. I sure hope that he doesn't have to have the conversation around him throughout his career of, oh, but he never won a cup. I think, look what he did for Team Canada, and I think it would be awesome for him to hoist the Stanley Cup because that's who he is. This is me trying not to cheer for the Oilers, okay?
Sure.
But so yes, I think there probably is a cup in their future. But it doesn't come, they haven't got one yet. And we're back to, are they a better team this year or not? Some stuff's got to happen if they're getting back to the cup this year. I'm not saying it can't, but it has to. And they've got a few more, the window's big. They've got a few more years, but the clock's also ticking here. So sure, they should win a cup.
Is it like in I'm not I really don't ever want to just make it about the Leafs. I'm not a Toronto guy, but what I find interesting with this team, with obviously Draisaitl signing his big contract, McDavid's up soon, and I'd imagine he's going to be with the Oilers for a very long time as well. Is this a year, I don't want to call it a gap year, but just where this might not be the year for the Oilers to go all in? Or do you think, as you mentioned, like the fan base getting a game away, that everything's pointing towards Stan Bowman kind of putting everything forward and going all in for this season?
Yeah, it's every year is an all-in year now. What you have to watch is, I mean, win, lose, or draw this year, the Oilers are going to have a pretty good team for a while. All their core guys, I mean, they got to sign Bouchard. They're going to sign McDavid. This is a team that, like, all I would guard against Alex is, if you give three first-round picks away this year, then what are you going to do next year? Like, you'd do anything if you knew you were going to win a cup. The problem is you don't. So, but yes, this is an all-in year. Next year's an all-in year. Next year's an all-in year. Next year's an all-in year. This is an all-in team. They're eventually going to go where Pittsburgh is now, where they're old and it ain't happening anymore. And Pittsburgh at least can look back and say, yeah, but we got three Stanley Cups. And the Edmonton and Chicago can look back as they're trolling the bottom of the league here and not changing that anytime soon. And they could say, yeah, but we got three Stanley Cups. So the Oilers need to win Stanley Cups because this is the time, man. It is. They're never going to get better than they are for this 5, 6 year window.
How would you evaluate Stan Bowman's first, I guess, 6 to 8 months on the job?
I mean, pretty good, I think. Here's the deal with Stan Bowman. First of all, Jeff Jackson worked the deadline, right? Stan Bowman didn't get hired till like July 26th or something. So he came in here, and the first thing on his plate was the offer sheet from St. Louis. So he had to deal with that. That I think they should have kept Holloway. They decided not to. I think that's a mistake. Whatever. He made a nice little trade to get Pod Colson for a fourth round pick. Pod Colson's okay. Let's see if he gets any better. He better get better. I haven't minded his work. What else did he bring in? He brought in somebody else whose name escapes me. My point would be this: the work was done when he got here this year, Alex. The deadline was 3 weeks past. So his job now is to really do what he did in Chicago, and I think that's what makes him valuable. Remember, he wasn't the GM when they won their first cup, or I should say, he didn't build that first cup winner. It was Dale Tallon's team. And then he comes in, they win the cup. Then the team comes apart because of the cap. And he had to largely rebuild that team in Chicago. So they missed they don't win the cup the next year. I think what did they win it in 10, didn't win it in 11, won it
Yeah.
in 12. Is that right?
On 13, 13 and 15.
That's it, 13, 15. So my point is, he rebuilt two cup winners and won a further cup, which I think is a bit akin to what's going on now with every top team. Like this Oilers team, they got a bunch of older guys on 1 year deals. You got to rebuild it every year almost. So he's proven he knows how to do that. So, but I can't tell you I have a huge read on him as a GM because he hasn't worked the trade deadline yet for this organization, and he hasn't worked July 1st yet for this organization.
That's fair.
So really, it's hard to judge a GM until he has a couple of those under his belt, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. I guess maybe going back a little bit to everyone, it seems like a lot of players on this team from last year who, Zach Hyman obviously had 50 goals. Nugent Hopkins as well was really good last year. They've taken steps back. You mentioned
Yes.
Bouchard and Skinner. How much of that in a sense is like, obviously they didn't win the cup, but that there's a bit of that. The highs of the Stanley Cup, it just are not matched by a regular season game in Buffalo. Like, how much do you feel that's with this team that maybe potentially in the playoffs when the everything's on the table and it's do or die that the cream rises to the top after a meandering season?
I think, the oldest saying in the playoffs is you can't just flip a switch. But I wouldn't accuse the Oilers of flipping a switch. They've been heading into last weekend, they were like in third place in the National Hockey League. So it's not like they're just cruising along, not winning games. They've been a very good team this season. But having said that, Alex, for a bunch of guys that played, I think they played 107 games last season, and they went till June, whatever it was, 24. That you got to try to keep something in the tank. I personally feel like Connor McDavid has spent the season trying to keep something in the tank so that when it comes, he's a little more, got a little more reserve left, this spring than last. Now, the fear is if you can't go in the playoffs and think you're going to beat teams by playing 80% of your game. But yes, I think it's fair to say on a veteran team, they all are of the realization that it doesn't matter how many goals I get in the regular season. It doesn't matter what my points are. I'm older now. There's only one thing that matters. It's the Stanley Cup final and winning a cup. And I think there's an element of that here. For sure there is.
How confident are you that Stuart Skinner becomes an elite goaltender and Evan Bouchard becomes just a top pairing defenseman in the next couple of months,
Yeah,
especially
in the
in
next couple of
spring?
months. I think that I'm more confident. I'm confident in Stu Skinner because his MO is that when the team's good, he's good. When the team plays well in front of him, he plays well. What he's never been is a guy who your team plays awful and he steals a game for you. And you'll want that out of your goalie. Don't get me wrong. Your goalie needs to steal a game a month or two a month. And it's just never been a Stu Skinner thing. He's not that guy. But his record also shows you that when the team plays well, he doesn't let them down. He took them to game seven of the Stanley Cup final. They went on the road. He let in two goals on the road in the Stanley Cup final game seven. To me, that's enough. He gave his team a chance to win. They didn't score enough goals. They didn't win. I'm not looking at the goalie in that game, right? So Skinner, yeah. Bouchard, we're almost 60 games in here, and he's still kind of looking for it. Offensively, he's still really strong. He moves a puck. He shoots. That doesn't have a power play goal all year, but he shoots. So I don't know where that went, but he's still got a great shot. It might, we're teetering on, oh, he'll get it back right on time, and this just might not be a great year. It might be one of those years where a young player is a little down and comes back up next year. You can't begrudge him that. Every other guy has those years on the way up. And his top end, he was a point per game defenseman last year who set a National Hockey League record for assists in the playoffs. He's a fantastic player. He's a little south of that this year. So let's see where it goes. I won't predict that he can't find some measure of that between now and the start of the playoffs.
We were at the game last year when Zach Hyman got his 50th goal of the year. He's not on pace for that or anything close to that. Like, what's, I don't watch the Oilers as much as you do, of course. What's kind of changed with his game this season?
Well, he's not playing with McDavid much, for one, nearly as much as he was last year. He still plays with him roughly half the time. McDavid hasn't been quite as good, and that has an effect on how many goals Zach Hyman scores. The power play hasn't been near as good. That has a huge effect on how many goals Zach Hyman scores. And Zach Hyman wasn't near, he played pretty well for the first 20 games, had a million chances, and nothing went in. Last year, everything went in. So, is Zach Hyman an every year 50 goal guy? No. Is he an every year 35 goal guy? Probably, right? So, you can't judge a guy on his best year. You kind of have to judge him on his mean year. I don't know what Zach will get to this year, but he's the least of my worries. He's another guy. If this team starts operating on all cylinders, he'll take care of his cylinder. I'm not worried about that one bit.
Before I let you go, I guess what's your prediction for this season? I know predictions are awful in February for the
They
season,
sure
but
are.
I feel like it's my duty as a podcast host to ask you it. So this is it's in my contract.
That big paycheck you're getting on
It's
this pay
huge,
podcast.
huge. It's from cents to dollars, but is there like what do you think happens with the team? It feels like from I won't put words in your mouth. Like, what do you think will happen with this Oilers team?
Well, I think Stan Bowman will make a bigger splash at the deadline than you think. I have a sense that there's going to be a player that maybe, I remember a few years ago, everyone went to the deadline and we all have these lists of who's available and who's going to get this guy and who's going to get that guy. And Ken Holland came home with Mattias Ekholm. Nobody even knew he was available. And oh my God, what a good player, right? This guy's like, he's just a super, super defenseman. And on with term in his contract and everything, he's become a giant part of this thing here. So I sense that instead of just a couple of expiring UFAs, that Bowman will find a way to do something a little different. I think it'll be a kickstart for his team. The question kind of becomes, does he bring in a goalie? Is he thinking about a goalie? There's a lot of talk about that in this town. He's telling me he doesn't seem so worried, but that's externally. Inwardly, he might be shopping for Binnington for all we know.
Oh
So
my God. Oh my
I know.
God.
So I could see, I think it'll start with the deadline. I think there will be something that happens in Edmonton that's going to make the league stand up and go, oh boy. And I have a feeling that if it goes that way, that emotional charge will take them in the playoffs. They're obviously making the playoffs. They're right at the top, fighting with Vegas for the Pacific first place here. And then the playoffs start, man. And I'm going to tell you, they're good enough to beat anyone. I mean, they're good enough to beat anyone. But their first round might be against Colorado. They could beat you. Your second round is going to be against Vegas. They could beat you. And if you get past them, you're probably going to get like Winnipeg, and they sure as heck could beat you. And then you got to play someone out of the East like Washington, who just beat you 7-3 the other day. So, I can't tell you they're going to roll through the playoffs. The playoffs are a whole new ball game, but I think there'll be a different team in the playoffs start. I think there'll be a more confident team in the playoffs start, and they'll be ready because they just did this a year ago. Once the playoffs start, let's see what happens, man.
What's your headline if they play the Kings again?
Oh my God. I know. I know. It's my headline.
Is that four in a row? Am
It'd be
I?
four in a row.
Oh
Yeah,
my
it would be.
God.
If they finish second, third, they'll play the Kings again. I mean, there's two sides to that. On one hand, you think the Kings got to beat you eventually. But on the other hand, I feel like the Kings know, oh my God, these guys, we're never going to beat these guys.
No.
And they would never tell you that.
Oilers in five, that would be my prediction. Although the Kings
Yeah.
are a really good team, I feel like it's like the Leafs in Boston or something. It's never gonna happen. It's never gonna happen.
Well, it's funny because if I mean I think everyone would prefer to play someone different, even the Oilers, just for the sake of that. But if Edmonton doesn't win their division, they get LA. If they win their division, their reward at this point looks like it's going to be like Colorado. It's a shame that they don't, I've never agreed with this wild card rule
I agree
that
too.
they should switch divisions. I've never agreed with it, and particularly this year, because if the alternative is Edmonton playing Vancouver or Calgary, which of course is so much more fun for everybody, right? know,
Yeah, come on.
there's no rivalry between the Oilers and Colorado, even though it'd be great hockey. I want to see Calgary play Vancouver. I want to see Ottawa play Montreal or Toronto. I don't want to see Ottawa play New Jersey, you know? I
Give
want to
me
see the
Ottawa,
Canadian team.
Toronto every day of the week. I'd love that. That'd be so much fun.
So unfortunately, they're not going to rewrite the schedule now, but
No.
the Oilers will be ready in the playoffs. They're a good team. They're a really good team. They got good players. And there's something, Alex, about a team that when the game starts, now it's not like this maybe with Colorado, but with a lot of teams, when the game starts, the Edmonton Oilers have the best two players on the ice. And there's a lot of teams they play on a lot of nights where you can say that that's worth something in the game of hockey.
I think those two are just my favorite two players to watch in the league. Although Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar are pretty
Pretty
damn
close.
good. I'm not trying to
No, pretty close.
denigrate those guys. But oh, just it's so much fun to watch those guys work. And yeah, it's you're very lucky to watch them on a daily basis. But is there anything before I let you go that you want to plug for our employer at Sportsnet? Anything, any stories coming up or anything?
I don't think so. Read me every day. I don't
That's
I
what I do.
unfortunately don't have the luxury to work ahead on big pieces, and it's just
Yeah.
never. I like to come at you every day with something fresh. So
You
you know where to go to
don't
read Alex and me out there, and all the boys at Sportsnet.ca, the ice cream eating Ian McIntyre.
have a. Oh, that
I
was
know.
amazing. I sent him a text. I was watching the game. I was like, how's the ice cream? And he said, I needed more. And I was like, that's great. So,
Was awesome. Eric
that's awesome.
Francis is heading out east with his Flames. And you know, it's funny because out here, out in the West here, like the Vancouver, they're a tenuous group, man. They're struggling and struggling and struggling. And the Flames kind of have some belief. They could, you know what? They could sneak in there. It's going to be a fun race to finish for that last wild card spot.
I love the Flames, and also, but I do love drama. I am never going to complain about players and teams imploding, which make so much noise. And it's just so you know, Mark, it's the media's fault. I just
Yeah,
want you to know that.
I know. I just, that's right. Anything I do is easier than dealing with you media guys, Alex. I can tell you that right now.
Exactly. It's just it's the
Oh,
toughest. I mean, not to make it too much about my, but I always find it funny when anyone talks about Ottawa being a tough market. I'm like, I don't think we're Vancouver, Montreal, or Toronto, but
even those markets are not that tough. You know what? It's not that. I don't even need to get into it, but there's way more guys and reporters and men and women and web teams that are working for the team. There's way more people asking softball questions in those dressing rooms than there are anybody taking a player on. It's not near as tough as people make it sound.
And one tough question a day won't hurt you. So
Yeah, there you go. It's like
there you
taking your vitamin in the morning.
There you go. There you go. Well, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for coming on, Spec. I love your work, and I'm ex I hope I get to. There's definitely going to be a Sens Oilers final at some point in our lives.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Maybe in an alternate universe, but
That'd be fun.
we'll see. We'll see. But thanks so much for taking the time and doing this.
All right. Thanks for having me, man.